Blog Talk Radio.
Bill Belichick, I'm a playmaker. Tom Brady gon' pump fake him. Zone blitz, hard hits, red zone, we gon' make it. 2 minute warning, I'm Tebow. With an ego like Tebow. All I know is beast mode. Strap and cleats, we finna go. Oh, you ain't know that we putting on a show. About to win a Super Bowl. Tough man, it's a go home. Look, I ain't really with all that. Coin toss, we call that. Wrong call, we get the ball back. Get pancakes, make a straw flex. Why they make me turn off Randy Moss down the field? And we going for the conversion. Leave the other team hurting because their strategies is worthless. Ray Wright sitting hosing, ain't a thing they going to do about it. Yeah. You ain't got to believe me. Check NFL Weekly. Tape real, big brand, they got the news. Do you understand? They no plan, they no not. They no trash, they no hot. Top spot, up for grabs. Tune in to the podcast.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to NFL Weekly Wrap-Up here on It's Real Talk Radio. This is let's bring that back. Hold on, let's rewind that. This, because I'm saying tongue twister. This is the divisional round that we are going to be covering today. The divisional round. I'm your host, Stay Real. We got Bobby G in the building. My co-host, Bobby G.
Hey, what's going on, Tay?
What's going on? Hey, Bobby G, hold up. Try to say that the divisional round. Like, say it real fast, like the divisional round.
The divisional round, yeah, it is like a tongue twister.
You know what I mean? Like, you kind of got it right off the back, but it was messing me up. I was kind of struggling over here.
Yeah, listening to you, man. Let me show you.
Like, hold on, you ain't about to embarrass me on air. That's the beauty of having your own show. It don't matter what I'm going to do, get rolled up. I'm going to get fired or something. Once again, this is NFL Weekly Wrap-Up, the divisional round. This past weekend, once again, we had the pleasure of having two games on Saturday, two games on Sunday. That's the last time this season that will happen. And it was fun. It was full of action, action-packed. We seen something that I've never seen before. We seen a team down by 14 twice in the playoff game and came back both times and won the game. We seen a controversial call that might have given Dallas the win had they converted. It was looking really, really good for them, and the call was reversed. We seen somewhat of an upset with Colts giving the Broncos an upset. We seen Seattle do what we're accustomed to them doing, dominating on defense. We seen some really, really good football being played this past weekend.
Yeah, some great football, man. You know, I was a little disappointed in the Denver Colts game. I was expecting Colts to pull that one off, but don't know exactly what happened. See, sometimes, man, having that extra week off, that bye week, it's like a double-edged sword, man. You never know how it affects you when you come back. You know, some teams, you know, you can be well rested and sharp. Sometimes you can come back rusty and not on your game where you used to seeing you play. And then, you know, we don't know if you're going to get into that game form by the time that game is over. So that's what I think we saw for Denver, you know, so. But perhaps not particularly anything from the Colts. Good win, upset on the road at that. You know, I picked all the home teams to win it. Came up short, but it's all good. And I know anything can happen in the divisional round.
Let's bring Mr. Dano in. Mr. Dano,
Hey, what to do?
Hey, how's it going,
What's going on, Mr. Daniel?
Right.
I enjoyed all the games. What's going on?
Except for the Ravens.
Yeah, it was a lot of good football, man. There was a lot of good football played.
I give a shout out to the Ravens. Even though they didn't win, they still did it good. And they still hung in there. It was a good
great
game.
They played well, man. They had a chance to win that. That was just an awesome game, man. Awesome.
Yeah, let's get into that. Wait. Let's get Bobby G to turn his TV down first.
Oh.
And then let's get into it. Or back away from the TV.
Yeah. All right.
Cool. So let's get right into it, man. The first game of the divisional round weekend. The Baltimore Ravens at the New England Patriots started off. Joe Flacco was doing his thing. The Ravens offense for set was killing them with the run. He rushed for over 100 yards. Flacco threw four touchdown passes. They started off 14-0. Then the Patriots came back and tied it, and the Ravens went up 28-14. The Patriots came back again, and it was wild. You know, I know it was a great game, but because I seen my team up by 14 twice, I think they said it's the first time it happened in the playoffs where a team was up 14 two separate times in the game, and the team came back both times and ultimately won the game. So definitely a good game. I was hearing feedback from people who were, Mr. Daniel, that might have been, was that you? Somebody was saying Flacco. Somebody was saying they blamed Flacco. I think it was Mr. Daniel. I say the Ravens defense definitely lost that game. I mean, if your team is, your offense has been struggling, it's been inconsistent throughout the year. Though they set a franchise record for points, the Ravens have never been known to be a high-powered offensive team. And their offense has been inconsistent, but the Ravens came out guns blazing, 14-0. Then 28-14, somehow the Ravens defense, or should I say the Ravens secondary, because their rush defense was incredible. I've never seen a team abandon a run like that. Like, they literally abandoned a run. It was like, we can't run on these guys. We're only going to throw it. Once you make a team one-dimensional, it's like you have them right where you want you. I mean, you have them right where you want them. You have them right where you want them. All you have to do now is say, okay, all right, they're going to – I mean, easier said than done, but, all right, we know they've abandoned the run now. We don't even have to – we don't even really have to play a run-style defense because they're going to throw it every time. And I'm sitting here watching it like, this is typical Patriots, this is typical Belichick, like just going underneath. The Patriots don't have, like, that Randy Moss, Dante Stallworth – 16-0 offense now. So they have Gronkowski. He's the only deep threat down the field. You have to double him. That's just all it is to it. Like you can unless you have like a Richard Sherman or Darrell Revis on your team, that's about the best chance you got of covering him 1-on-1. You have to double him. I would keep two people on him at all times. I don't care if we're gonna lose. Somebody else is going to be that's not him. Like, I would keep a safety. Now, I know they had some safeties over the top, but they still ran, like, I seen a lot of zone. Like, I seen a lot of zone, and he was tearing that zone up. I was like, come on, man. And he was just finding holes. And Tom Brady was just going underneath. And I was thinking, like, man, like, why won't they, you know, zone on that underneath coverage, but still double up on Gronkowski? Like, come on, the Jets, they killing y'all off the same thing all game. I know the trick play. I caught everybody off guard. All right, they got one in there. But, like, you can't be up 14 twice in the game and still lose. You can't. No. Not when you got a defense like the Ravens. I mean, this shows us that the Ravens definitely – need that if it's one thing they're lacking in, it's defensive backs. They need help. Like Ladarius Webb, he's done some good things, but overall, I'm not a big fan. Like, I think, like, the Ravens should let him go and find somebody else. You know what I mean? I like Kyrie Williams better. Me and my friends were talking about that, and we were saying they should have kept Kyrie Williams. Like, Webb is inconsistent, but that dude, what's his name, Melvin? Man, oh, man. He was a big part of the loss. I'm not even going to lie. I'm not going to say and say it's his fault exactly. Can't put all the blame on one player, but he was getting thought off, making some good plays, and he was bigging him up. As soon as they started bigging him up, saying, yeah, well, this guy's probably going to be around for a while. He's been improving in the season, and the Ravens should definitely re-sign him, and da-da-da. Next thing you know, he just started getting scorched. I'm like, come on, man. And Tom Brady just kept going his way, and he was successful. Brady just shredded him up, man. Brady had his way with that defense. The pass rush was not able to get there because he was doing fast passes underneath. And the Ravens corners cannot, like, they don't really cover well, like, as far as manning up.
That's it.
So it puts you in a bind, you know what I mean? Because, like, if you try to make them play man, they was getting shredded with them cross routes and them curl routes. And what about the tackling? Oh, my gosh. Poor tackling from the defensive backs. Poor tackling, poor pass coverage led to their demise. Man,
well,
that was
Melvin,
frustrating to watch, man.
Melvin did have nine tackles. Oh, sorry. Yeah. But, yeah, Melvin did have nine. He was nine tackles. He had nine. And Smith,
but he missed, like, he had nine tackles? Well, I give him credit for that. Because nine tackles is a lot for a corner. That's a very decent game for a linebacker. But look how many key tackles he missed. Look how many, like, third downs they converted when a Patriots receiver would catch the ball and Melvin's right there. And it wasn't just him. Some other people missed tackles, but I've seen, like, three or four missed from him alone. That was, like, third down conversions, big plays. Oh, my gosh, that is so frustrating. I couldn't be a coach, man. I would be going – my players would hate me. I would be going crazy seeing that. My nerves would not be able to, like – man, that's Bobby G. Go ahead, Bobby G.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, when you up 14 twice in the game and to come up short, I mean, you know, it is tough. It's heartbreaking because, you know, my heart was with, I ain't gonna lie, my heart was with Baltimore. I was, technically, I was rolling with the home team of England. I said the home team's gonna take it, but I did feel that Baltimore, I wouldn't have been upset if Baltimore, I would have been glad if Baltimore, really, I really wanted Baltimore to take that and upset New England and move forward. But when I was watching the game, I was like, man, I was feeling good. You know, I'm 14. Then they let, you know, New England come and tie. Then they went up again. I was like, yeah, they're not gonna give that back up. You know, either they're gonna play D and hold on to this lead. But then next thing you know, they came up short, and it's history. But I will say this, man. The Ravens came to play. They did come to play. They came up short. Tom Brady, hats off to him, you know, they was able to remain poised and just kept playing their game, and they didn't do anything different from the first quarter. They just kept doing what they do and got back in the game that way. And like you said, they did, you know, Melvin, you know, he was throwing the ball, going Melvin's way, and pretty much picks him apart, but Melvin did have nine tackles. But it was a tough loss, man. It was a great game to watch. I love that was good. One of my favorite games of the week to watch. You know, and that was definitely like the first, and that was the first game, and it was like to me like the best game of the week to watch. You know, and it was great, man. But hats off. To Baltimore, they don't really have too much to feel that bad about, just that they came up short. The defense, they just got to figure out, like you said, what they need to do defensively, you know, to so that going forward, and because they're going to get, hopefully, you know, they keep the same core guys together. Man, I think we're going to be looking at them again in the postseason next season and see how far they're going to go. You know, they may go a lot further. Yeah, so Yeah, what's your thoughts on that game, Mr. Dallin?
It was a good game. First of all, I give Tom Brady his props, but Tom Brady and the Patriots is not going to win the Super Bowl because they got, doing all that throwing is good, but you can't win a Super Bowl without running the ball. And if they somehow, because I don't even think they're going to get past the Colts, if they somehow get past the Colts, they will have to face Seattle, and Seattle going to hurt them.
Whoa, hold up, though. You're just ruling out Green Bay.
Green Bay is not going to beat Seattle. Seattle going to the Super Bowl. I watched Green Bay. They barely beat Dallas. Green Bay is not going to beat Seattle.
Well,
that's
Dallas
the way it's looking based on the way they
play
Dallas.
Really,
so I ain't going to lie. But, yeah.
We'll get into that, but back to the Ravens. My thing is with Flacco is I like Flacco, but Flacco cost the Ravens that chance to be the best team because Flacco, I'm going to say this, and I love the Ravens. I'm a Ravens fan, and I respect Flacco. The Flacco should have made a sacrifice and kept his go-to man because I'm telling y'all, if he would have kept Anquan Boldin, the Ravens wouldn't have lost the game. Because Anquan Boldin, I don't care where Flacco throw that ball, Anquan Boldin was going to be there. They know each other. They was in sync. They like Batman and Robin. You don't get rid of your sidekick. You don't get rid of your right hand. That was Anquan Boldin with Flacco right hand. Wherever Flacco threw that ball, you can believe it. Flacco threw that ball. If Anquan Boldin played in that game, I'm telling you, y'all, if he threw that ball downfield, that would not have been no interception. Anquan Boldin would have caught the ball, and the Ravens would have won the game.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you on that, yeah.
Anquan Boldin definitely helped Flacco look good on that Super Bowl, that crazy, insane Super Bowl run that
the
Ravens went on in
the
2012 season.
The other thing is, as far as the corners, the Ravens and the coach, this is another mistake the coach done for the Ravens, not being wise. You don't get rid of somebody like Ed Reed because people say Ed Reed is old. You keep Ed Reed because Ed Reed could have took those corners, mentored them. I'm telling you, Ed Reed would have mentored them corners. They would have been ready for Patriots. That wouldn't have went down like that. I'm telling you. Because you could have Ed Reed during the whole season. You could have one corner and Ed Reed, and then switch that corner out and put another corner in with Ed Reed where you had to work and going back and forth the whole season. Them guys, with Ed Reed's experience, them guys, them corners would have been ready. And Ed Reed is the captain. Ed Reed should have been the captain of the team. Not only that, he would have had that team prepared because Ed Reed come from being under Ray Lewis, and Ed Reed and Ray Lewis had that mentor. Subs needed Ed Reed to help. Ed Reed with Subs and Ed Reed getting them corners, preparing them corners, I guarantee you that wouldn't have went down. That wouldn't have went down like that. Tom Brady got away with it. And I ain't saying he ain't a good quarterback. If Tom Brady has to face Seattle, he's going to be in trouble because Seattle's not going to let him throw that ball. Seattle got backs and they got corners. And all that doing what he's doing is not going to happen. They're going to have to run the ball. If they play Seattle on the Super Bowl, they're going to have to run the ball. Because all that throwing, they're going to shut that down. They got the Darrell Reeves and which other guy?
Brandon Browner?
Yeah. They ain't going to play with him. You're talking about
the Seahawks. You're talking about Richard Sherman? You said Darrell Reeves.
Sherman.
I thought you were talking about the Patriots corners.
I meant to say the other guy.
Richard Sherman.
And which other corner? Them guys, they're going to force Tom Brady to throw that ball. Tom Brady ain't going to be able to. I'm going to tell you. The Patriots play good, but the Patriots going to have to run the ball. They ain't going to be able to beat a team like that. That's if they get past the coach.
Well, you know what, we're definitely going to, you know, before we wrap it up, we're going to definitely make some predictions for next week and see which games we think who's going to win what. But one thing I noticed, like, you know, that was a key play. Like, that, the Ravens converted that fourth down, big fourth down. The game was on the line, and he converted a big fourth down to, I was about to say Pitta. Man, we need him back, but Owen Daniels. And once I seen that, I'm like, oh, yeah, and this is for the win because the score was 21. No, the score was 35-31. So the Ravens, they need a touchdown to win. They can't tie with a field goal. So it was, and I'm like, it was like second down or something like that when Flacco threw that deep ball to Torrey Smith. I deleted the game, so I can't even go back, and I had to delete it. I couldn't take it. But
I don't know why he. I don't know why he. Somebody
was
called
like,
the Bears.
Bobby G. Did you remember what down that was? Because I deleted the game, and I don't remember what down it was when Flacco threw that intercept. It was like second.
It was second.
Yeah, it wasn't third. Right, it wasn't third or fourth. It was Bobby. It was early.
Like, they had at least one more. It wasn't third down. It was at least like second.
Second down.
And it was time left.
Let me
say this. Like, it was time left, right?
Yeah.
It's like, why would you go for the big strike and leave Tom Brady more time when your defense has not been able to stop Tom Brady? He's got over 300 yards passing. Yeah, he got, like, 17 incompletions, but he had been, like, those last couple of drives been just touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. Like, your defense has not been able to stop him. So it was like, you want to keep. Like, the Ravens, like, Flacco was killing them with the tight end, you know, with both tight ends, you know. Like, they was doing their thing, man. Like, they had it right there. There was no need to go for that, for the win right there because it was too much time left for Tom Brady anyway. Now, obviously, he didn't see that safety. There's no way he's seen that safety and still threw it because it's like, why would he have threw it towards the sideline? Like, why would you throw it over his right shoulder? You need to throw it to his left shoulder to give him a chance.
But why would you do it? It was second down. I would have, and it was right there to get another first down.
Because
it was right
on first down and kept taking their time and used the clock
they
up.
They should have hand the ball and ran the ball again. Got the first down. Once they got the first down, ran the ball again, got the first down, then maybe threw a couple of short passes, and then when they got close to the end zone, then went in for the touchdown.
This is it. This is your season on the line.
Hey,
I understand if you score, you go up. But now Tom Brady got over a minute left to drive his team down the field for the win.
Somebody called the bad call, and they rushed the play, and you don't do that. Flacco shouldn't have threw the ball.
No, Flacco made that read, man. He shouldn't have threw that, man. He should not have threw that.
That's what I'm saying. But somebody also made a bad call because they shouldn't have told him to throw the ball.
I got to see that replay because I feel like Torrey Smith in that situation, he should have just tackled the dude, like anything. Get an offensive pass interference, but once you see that dude going up and you're like, man, this ball is too deep for me, it's a seasonal line. Tackle that dude, man. Like, literally tackle him. Get ejected if you got to, man. Try to take his head off. Anything. Don't let this dude just pick that ball off like that and seal the game.
Even if he would have tackled him, the guy would have dropped the ball. It would still been the Ravens' ball.
Something, man. I'm just so frustrated about it, man.
It would have been the Ravens' ball.
I know Torrey Smith couldn't predict that was going to happen.
Because it was second down. All he had to do was hit the guy and make the guy drop the ball. It would still been second down. They might have got an offensive withstand, got backed up a little bit, but it would still been third down, and they still would have had a chance to get a first down.
This is a lesson to be learned, man. Like, don't – when you're playing against great quarterbacks, I can see if your defense has been playing great. Your defense has not been playing well throughout – I mean, well on a run, not the pass. So it's like you have to drain that clock. That's just as important as scoring. You have to milk that clock. You don't go for a home run in that situation when it's a lot of time left for Brady and your defense is struggling to stop him. Then they still had a chance. I think everybody's thrown off by this. When they caught that timeout, I thought they was going to leave it at the clock where it was, like 5 seconds left or something like that. And the referee put like 14 seconds back on the clock. Now, Jacoby Jones sees his ball coming and sees the special teams defense bearing down on him. Jacoby Jones should have called for a fair catch. He took like 9 seconds. It was like 5 seconds left when he finished. Like, he took like 9 seconds off the clock, and all he gained was like 2 yards running to the sideline. I understand you're trying to be the hero, Jacoby, but in this situation, the chances of you scoring are not that great. In that situation, you would have had to have seen a huge hole, and he could not have seen a huge hole when those corners, because I didn't even understand why the Ravens was trying to, like, it's a punt block formation. Like, what? Punt block? It's like 14 seconds left. If Jacoby Jones can get a decent return, or even if he fair catches it, you got decent field position. Now, you don't have any timeouts, but you got the sideline. So with 14 seconds left, that's enough time to get two completions towards the sideline for like five, like anywhere from 8 to 10 yard gain. You know, you just got to make sure the receiver don't catch it in bounds. And if the Patriots played soft defense to prevent the home run, they would have gave the Ravens would have had a chance to make a completion and hit the sideline. Bam, you get two of those, now it's 5 seconds left, and you only got like 25 yards. That's a lot easier to give a touchdown pass with shorter yardage. Flacco had to hum that ball, and, man,
I don't know why
Brown was 6'4". That would have been a nice time for Marlon Brown to jump over everybody. But it didn't happen, man. The Patriots batted it out, and oh, my gosh, man. I still have an idea about that.
Another person cost the Ravens that game. That stupid coach came on the field. I don't know what he was thinking about. Came on the field and got a flag thrown, and they gave what's name the first down too. That play when the Ravens coach came on the field and they threw a flag and the Patriots wound up getting the first down. He came.
Yeah, you're not the first person I heard say that. I heard somebody else was saying that. But when I think back on it, I don't feel like. I'm about to say Byron Billick. Wow. I don't feel like Harbaugh, caused them the game. Like, the defense was freaking struggling, man. Like, I probably would have stepped on the field, too, seeing this. Like, come on, man. Like, how y'all just letting them just do these underneath stupid curl routes? Like, who falls for that, man? Like, come on, man.
But you can't do that neither, because that's not helping them neither, giving them a free first down, especially with somebody like Tom Brady. You can't get Tom Brady no extra nothing.
That first interception, I don't fault Flacco for that. That was like a great defensive play, but that second one was ridiculous. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Not with that much time left on the clock, man. I could see if it was fourth down, I wouldn't have been mad at him, but come on, man. You gotta live the fight.
I don't understand why he threw
Flacco
the ball with second down, instead of throwing a short pass or handing the ball and running the ball. It was only second down. Why are you going to run it?
Hey, Bobby G, you can tell we Ravens fans over here. We going on a rant.
Yeah.
We are going on a rant right now,
But they should, I was a little upset that they lost two, came up short of 14 twice. You know, once they scored that field goal, and everybody was scoring touchdown, I was like, man, that didn't look good to me. I was like, well, you know, I don't think it was okay.
Yeah,
they
needed to get a touchdown, because even if they would have got a touchdown, it would have been tied when it went overtime. They still wouldn't have lost. They needed to have three touchdowns instead of them.
Yeah, but it was fourth down, and you ain't really want to take that risk. You want to go up. You want to go up. You don't want to keep it tied because your defense ain't stopping them anyway. So he went for the field goal.
Daniels
almost had a touchdown. He had it in his hand, but he couldn't hold on to it. So they had to go for the field goal. But what was you saying, Mr. Dano?
Yeah, they did have to go for the field goal. But I just wish they would have got that touchdown because you need more touchdowns than
this is so frustrating. We can move on to these other games. I know we Ravens now, but understand our team is gone. This is our last time talking about them for the show. So let us just shed our tears real quick, and I promise y'all we can move on for the listeners out there. But man, you gotta understand we grieving right now, man. This is bad, man. Like, I mean, you have to hold them to a field goal at some point. You have the number two red zone defense in the league. How in the world did you let them score all touchdowns? You don't hold them to one field goal. Every score that the Patriots got was a touchdown. Come on, Ravens defense. And the pass rush, I mean, the Belichick, I feel like he out-coached and outsmarted the Ravens coaching. And I seen on NFL Network when they were saying, like, where's the advantage in coaching? And they said Belichick, and I was thinking, like, yeah, that is an advantage. Now, I feel like the Ravens had better receivers than the Patriots, minus besides Gronkowski. Like, that Edelman dude, I mean, don't get me wrong, he be doing his thing, but he is overrated, man. Like, dude, I mean, he's like, you know, he's quick, he's a little explosive, but, like, he's like, oh, I hate, like, when it's like somebody's like, they hyping him up, but it's like he's so overrated because the Patriots system allows him to be successful as far as, like, utilizing his skill sets to the best of his ability. Like, dude is not all that. Like, if he was on, like, a, if he was on a Ravens team, he probably wouldn't, like, if he was a receiver for the Ravens, he wouldn't be doing all of that he's doing. New England sets receivers up to be successful. Like, you could be a nobody and go to New England and do something and have some nice numbers, because Belichick is just a very intelligent. His football IQ is off the charts. Tom Brady's IQ is off the charts also. And they make things happen for other players, just like Peyton Manning. They make the players look better. You know what I mean? Like, they don't really have, like, receivers. Like, they got decent receivers, not great receivers. You know what I mean? That's all. Like, that, I feel like the 2012 Ravens defense would have definitely won. Like, this Ravens defense was similar, but Ray Lewis and Ed Reed, the football IQ that they had, they slowed down over the years, but their football IQ. There's no way Tom Brady would have scored 5 touchdowns all successfully with Ed Reed and Ray Lewis, but those days are over. And you just have to find a way to hold the Patriots to a field goal. Like, you can't just let them keep scoring touchdowns, especially when you're up 14 twice. It's like, somebody speak up. Somebody bring them to the huddle. Somebody get their Ray Lewis on real quick. Say, hold up, y'all. We ain't going out like this. Put it all on the line, man. Leave your heart and soul out here. Let's go. I don't care if you got to get a penalty. Take somebody's head off. We're not going to let these boys just go up and score touchdowns on us. Let's go. Like, amp the defense up. Like, come on, y'all. Come on, man. You can't let that happen. You cannot let that happen. That's embarrassing, man. That's embarrassing.
This is why I said they should have kept Ed Reed. Flacco is
Terrell Suggs should have stepped this game up, too. He had, like, one tackle.
Oh, my gosh. He only had one tackle. Holy crap. I'm glad I blocked those stats out. I refuse to look at the stats and write them down. I refuse to watch the replay. That's why I don't even remember what down it was when Flacco threw the other side. I blocked it all out of my head, man. It's just...
Ooh. Only thing I can make is the Ravens.
Yeah, he had one tackle.
This was the Ravens.
Other things he do, because he's all over the place. You know, you just look at the tackles and everything, but sometimes, you know,
wow,
he do other things. So, but you know,
this
so,
what
wow,
the Ravens gonna have to do.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is what the Ravens gonna have to do. They're gonna have to get some backs. They definitely gonna have to get some backs. And they're going to have to go out and get some corners. Them corners they got, they're going to have to get some better corners to really go out there.
Get rid of the Darius Webb. I'm sorry. I'm saying it right here, right now. Nothing personal to the Darius Webb. I appreciate all the good things he's done early on in his career. But recently, like definitely this year, from what I've seen, he's hurting more than helping. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He gets destroyed. Like, every time we go and look, like, we was watching the Steelers game. I was at my friend's house. We was watching the Steelers game. And we just sit here looking like, oh, my gosh, Darius Webb. Like, why? How are you, like, 5 yards away from a receiver every time? Like, how are you just getting, like, how are you be falling for the simplest route, simplest curls, and he always, like, falling for everything that a receiver does, he fall for. You fake left, he going to go 3 yards left. Like, come on, where's your reaction time, man? Like, keep your feet firm, man. All right, I'm done, y'all, because I'm going around. We're about to move on. I can't do this right now. I just can't. I can't.
It's
I cannot do this right now.
I understand, especially when they were playing so well. And up 20,
yeah, man.
14.
The Steelers, I'm going to say with this, and that's it. The Steelers have a better offense than the Patriots. Would you agree, Bobby G?
The Steelers defense. Oh yeah, yeah.
No offense, offense. The Steelers offense with Antonio Brown and them quick receivers.
Oh, yeah, no question.
I feel like the Steelers have a better offense than the Patriots. All the Patriots got over them is Gronkowski, a tight end. The Steelers, I feel, have better receivers by far. And look at what the Ravens defense is able to do with them. Like,
yeah.
You gotta be able to find a way to stop the bleeding. Now, you can't put a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound, man. I'm done. Hey, you know what? Shout out to the Patriots and Belichick, because at the end of the day, I still gotta give them their props. They out-coached us, they out-played us, and they beat us. They beat the Ravens. We can't use no excuse. The Ravens didn't get cheated. It was a game called right down the middle. Matter of fact, the Ravens had some favorable calls. When you ever see Darrelle Revis get called for pass interference multiple times in a game? And
yeah,
getting burnt for touchdowns by Steve Smith, but wasn't enough. The Ravens prevailed.
Yeah.
Oh, but Torrey Smith was definitely doing his thing on Browner. He was killing Brown. I was like, okay. I mean, he had some really big plays. Like, he was leaving Browner. I'm looking at this dude, Browner, and I'm seeing that he's not all that he's cracked up to be. He's tall, he's physical, but his coverage skills aren't that great. Like, he can get beat. I've seen that because I've seen Ravens receivers beat him. So it's going to be interesting to see what Andrew Luck and the high-powered offense of the Colts do against the Patriots. But we're going to move on, y'all, because I'm in rant mode right now. And we'll be talking about the Ravens the whole show. So the Carolina Panthers went to Seattle and had to face the Legion of Boom and the 12th man. And, I mean, earlier on, it was looking like they was going, it might actually come down to the wire. Like, okay, you know, the Panthers defense came to play, but then slowly but surely, Seattle had made some explosive plays, some big touchdown passes from Wilson, big plays. Wilson has a big play ability, man. He's fun to watch. He's very fun to watch. And the kid, he's got it, man. He's got it. Got the it factor.
That's my backup team, man.
Yeah, mine too. That's my boys too. You know that's my boys too. But I was really rooting for Dallas. He gonna get to Dallas though. But yeah, man, that 12th man showed up, and that pick six, I was so mad because I was watching the game. You know how I always do. I watch the game on DVR like 45 minutes behind so I can skip the annoying advertisements, and it backfired on me this time because my DVR stopped recording and the game wasn't over yet, and I missed the pick six when it happened live. I had to see it on like the highlights, and I was like, oh man, that big pick six to seal it. Seattle's defense is loaded. They look just as good now, not at the beginning of the year, but now they look just as good as they did last year. Team's been averaging like 6 points against them like the last like 6 weeks of the season or something crazy like that. Like, team's averaging something like 6 points against them or something. It's crazy. They're balling out of control. Seattle, they handle business. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with, that's for sure. Bobby G, how'd you feel about that game?
Oh, great game. Just what I expected. You know, hats off to Carolina for getting there as well. But this time, Russell Wilson did it with his arm this time. And, you know, he did a great thing. His arm, not really his foot. And, you know, the passing, you know, passing the Seattle Seahawks into the NFC championship game for the second straight year. So that was cool. And also, you know, he had a big assist from Cam Chancellor. Really had a put together a great game, you know. So good win for which I expected. You know, everybody expected the Seahawks to, you know, to beat the Panthers. So, you know, we all knew the buck stopped there, and everything it was, you know, was going through Seattle. So, but yeah, it was a great game. You know, Cam Newton, and, you know, he you know, put together a little game for him and everything as well. You know, when they had when Cam Newton passed to the guy Kelvin Benjamin, to the left for seven-yard gain. And then Graham Gano, you know, did his thing. And Carolina, yeah, at one point, you know, that was when they scored that touchdown. It was tied 7-7 in the first quarter. But then Seattle, they had came back. Russell Wilson passed to Jermaine Curse to the left for a 63-yard gain. And yeah, so and Steven Hoschka did his thing, you know. They went up. And Graham Gano kicked that 35-yard field goal. That for Carolina. Then at the end of the quarter, it was 14-10. But good game. You know, they was going at it. You know, it was pretty much going at it. But Russell Wilson just handled his business. He outscored them. Just great game, man. Great game. They did what I expected. What everyone expected them to do. So I wasn't really surprised with that game. You know, that's why, you know, I was saying, like, to me, that, you know, just, I'm going to say one more time, like, the best game to me was probably that New England-Baltimore game, you know. But this was a game that I expected, you know. The upset, of course, was the Denver game. But, you know, they did what they had to do, you know. So, yeah, what are your thoughts on that game there, Mr. Dano?
Oh, I knew my backup team. I knew my boys. I knew Wilson. I knew he was going to take care of business. I knew in Seattle he was going to let the third man loose. They're going to the dance again.
I knew
they
were going
to do their thing.
I still feel like you're speaking a little soon. I mean, I guess I can feel you being confident, but you really ruling Green Bay out.
Nothing wrong. Yeah. I like Aaron Rodgers, and I got a Green Bay jersey. I'm telling you, I like Green Bay. And I like Mr. Rodgers, but that young boy is on fire right now. It's his season, I'm telling you. He's going to the lady of the boom is going to drop the boom on Green Bay. You can believe that. They're going to the show again. I'll say like this. If the lady of the boom go to the Super Bowl, they're going to win it all.
I feel like they're gonna do it. It's gonna be a battle though with Green Bay. I don't want to, you know, just over with Green Bay.
Oh, I ain't over. I think it's gonna be a good game, but the lead in the boom gonna bring it.
Yeah, because we're looking at the way they play, like, you know, this over the past weekend, and one could easily say, yeah, they're going down in Seattle. So that is true, but. You know, we'll see how that plays out.
So who's home?
Huh?
Who's home? Seattle play at home or Green Bay?
Seattle's home. Seattle's home.
Seattle's the one.
I tell you now. Don't put your money on Green Bay unless you got money to give away. I'm telling you, don't put your money on Green Bay. Don't do it.
I mean, so... How do you feel about the Panthers' performance? Do you think that they should have played better, or do you think they were just outmatched?
They was outmatched and outclassed. Like somebody was telling me, a friend of mine, he's a Carolina Panthers fan. He said they played like they played all year. And this guy's a Carolina Panthers fan. He's from Carolina, and he's a fan of Carolina Panthers. He said they played like they played all year. And I kind of agree with him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I feel, you know, that they did step it up from, you know, the way it was, you know, in the later part of the year, like up until now. But I still didn't expect them to get past. They still wasn't ready. Their defense really stepped up great, Carolina. But I just didn't think they was getting past Seattle's defense, too. And, you know, so I just... You know, their defense against it. To me, it was like Carolina defense against Seattle's defense. Who's gonna hold out? Who's gonna play better? And Seattle showed you who has the better defense. You know, so that's what happened right there. So, and like I said, you know, Russell Wilson, he can do it. He can beat you with his arms, or he can beat you with his feet. This week, he beat you with his arms. You know, passing game. So, that's, yeah. You know, yo, man, yo, Russell Wilson. That guy is, great to have. It's good for the NFL to have a new, you know, quarterback who just got here, you know, a couple of years back and playing like that. It's good to have somebody else, you know, in the league like that, you know. So it's good for the NFL, man, to have a quarterback like that to watch. And, it's great, man. You know,
Go ahead, Bobby G.
Yeah, so, yeah, you know, already, like, it's, you know, one of the top quarterbacks to talk about. And I'm going to tell you, if they make it to the Super Bowl, this is going to be the first time since, like, I don't know when that a
team. The 04-05 season when the Patriots went back-to-back? Talking about
right.
As far as, like, back-to-back?
Right, there you go. Okay, it was 04-05. Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Since a team went back to the Super Bowl. There you go. Oh, okay, so you know. Yeah.
Been a whole decade.
So,
yep.
Yep, so,
I mean,
wow.
Russell Wilson, 15-22, 268 yards passing. I like to see quarterbacks throw for 300 yards and up in the playoffs because this is like the best of the best competing at that point. But, I mean, he only had 7 incompletions, and he had 3 touchdowns with no picks. His passer rating was 149.2. Keep in mind, the highest passer rating you can have is 158.3. So he was right there. He had the second highest, the third highest passer rating. He was only he had the second highest. Excuse me about that. My screen started loading and jumping. But
that's right.
Yeah, he had the second highest. He had the second highest. Really, I look at it as the first highest because the first highest was Julian Edelman. That one pass for 51 yards and a touchdown gave him a perfect passer rating of 158.3. You're not no quarterback. That was one play. I don't even know why that's listed under passing leaders. Like, he just had one pass. So, perfect passer rating, whatever. That was a one play. Russell Wilson had the best passer rating of the week, of the divisional round. 149.2. The next closest was Tony Romo, which we're going to be getting to his game next. But, yeah, Russell Wilson did his thing, man. He played lights
yeah,
out, man.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
So, which takes us to our next game, the Dallas Cowboys at Green Bay. This was definitely a good game. I know the Ravens Patriots game was a good game. I'm just salty about it, but this was a good game right here. Like, the Cowboys had every chance to win this game. Like, right there, 4th and 1, they went for the. I was thinking, like, why Romo? Like, why take that chance? But he believes in Dez Bryant. He believes in him, and he showed him. He showed the world that he believes in Dez Bryant. 4th and 1, and you go for a home run on 4th and 1. If you lose, you know the game is just about over for you at that point. Pretty much done. And Dez Bryant had that ball, man. Went up for it. He had it. And he came down. When I seen that, I thought it was a completion. But it's pretty much the Calvin Johnson rule. You know, like, you have to, when you get the ball, when you catch it, if you go up in the air, to get the ball, when you land, if you go straight towards the ground, then you have to maintain, like, if you make any type of lunge or leap as you come down to the ground, like losing your balance, like trying to stay on balance, if you don't
right.
basically make like a football act, like if you don't like take like maybe 2 to 3 steps before you start going to the ground, it's all considered one motion. So you catch the ball, you're in the air, you come down. As you come down, your feet land, you take like maybe one step forward and you're going down to the ground. That's all considered one motion. And so when Dez Bryant went to the ground, he had the ball, but it moved as he went down to the ground. And it kind of rolled in his hand a little bit, but I still felt like he had his hand under it. I thought that was going to be a completion, to be honest. But
I thought it was a catch,
but based on the rule, they're saying it's not because of the Calvin Johnson rule. You have to maintain possession of it throughout. Like, you can't, like, let the ball, like, bounce out of your hand. Now, it was crazy, y'all. Guess what? if he would have caught that ball and he would have went down to the end zone like that, y'all know that was a touchdown. But because it wasn't a touchdown, and that's why, it was that close. Like, if he would have, he was right there. If he would have went in, if that ball would have broke the plank and then broke and then did that, it would have been a touchdown.
That would have been a touchdown.
But because it did not cross the touchdown border, and it bobbled a little bit, but I would say more, I still feel like he had possession of it. That's kind of a weird rule, because I felt like he still had possession. I don't feel like he really hit the ground and he lost possession of it. I felt like he had his possession the whole time, and he cradled it. But
the
they said it rolled, it moved out of his hand a little, it moved, so it's incompletion. So,
right.
Based on the rules, I guess it's the right call. This is really, really weird. And at that point, it really cost the Cowboys the game. I think that took all of the spirit out of the Cowboys. I think the Packers like ran like another first down or two after the turnover and pretty much sealed it at that point.
Right.
It just sucked all the life out of the Cowboys at that point. But I'm trying to remember, Bobby G, was the game over? Didn't if I'm not mistaken, the Cowboys had a chance to maybe get the ball back with seconds left, but they like gave up a first down, right? Like they gave up a first down to Eddie Lacy or something,
right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was disappointed. I blocked that out of my head, too. I was disappointed about that one. I'm not I was really rooting for the Cowboys.
It was, you know what, it was like what happened the week before with Detroit came back to came back to haunt them with that that pass interference, called against it was called against the boys. And then they picked it back up, like no play, like no foul. I mean, it's like it came back, just like that. It's like I guess the officials figured the older one. But I will say this, that play with Dez Bryant, I'm gonna tell you, it's messed up. But the ground can, like everything you said was right. The ground will cause incomplete, but the ground can't cause a fumble. If you would have had the ball and went down, the ball would have came. If the ball hit the ground and came out, it can't force a fumble. But because, like you said, that one play where he was going down, the ball was first, the ball hit the ground, and he still had the ball, but he didn't. Once that ball came loose, like it goes like a little loose, he didn't have a straight up handle on it. Like it bobbled it, but he still caught it. But that's why they said it was incomplete. But if the ball would have crossed the plane and then he bobbled it before he bobbled it, it would have been a touchdown. And that could have been it. But that's, wow, that was tough. That was tough. But, man, but I will say this. That was a great game to watch. Those were probably that first game, New England and Baltimore, and that game was definitely those were some good games to watch. Those were some good games to watch right there. I mean, Seattle did what they had to do, and I expected that. So I expect Russell Wilson to just handle business straight up. So, but yeah, so it was all great, man. Just all great, and I'm happy for the teams that moved on. I mean, I was a little upset with even my friend was here, like, you trade out for CCC. I was rooting for Baltimore, and she was rooting for New England. So it was funny. So we was just there going at each other, laughing and all that. So, but I told her, I said technically, New England to win it because, they technically and focused on the team and they were home. But I said the way the Ravens been playing, like, my heart is with them. I think they have a good chance of knocking off New England still, even with all that, with New England. So we just been having a good time, going back and forth watching the games this weekend. But good game and tough loss for the Cowboys. And, you know what? This is the best season they had in a long time. season they had in a long time. So they have something to move forward, you know. They have something to work on, you know, moving forward. It's going to get tougher now because, you know, next season, you know, other teams are going to be stepping up. That division is going to be tough for Philly, and now the Giants will be back. And the Giants, after this season, they definitely going to come back with, like, a vengeance. So, and now, especially with the guys they got on the receiving core, going to be playing together with Cruz and the guy there, the new guy, also playing Junior. And that's going to be really interesting to see that division. And even watching
Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah, Odell Beckham Jr. and Cruz together, that's going to be one of the top receiving duos in the league for me.
It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, that's going to be crazy. So I can't wait for that. But hats off for Green Bay. You know, there you go. That's another thing. Like I said, with teams, when they have like that week off sometimes, that can sometimes it can go one way or the other. But, but it was a good thing that Green Bay was able to get it going in the second half offensively and make some, move the ball downfield and make some plays and do what they had to do. But what are your thoughts on that game, Mr. Daniel?
Only thing I can say is the words of my beloved father was saying, "You can't beat the referee in the team."
I gotta agree. I'm sorry. I'm looking at
That was the biggest screw job since Vince McMahon screwed Bret Hart out the title. And that's all I can say about They screwed Dallas out of that, and Green Bay don't deserve to be in no playoff. They don't deserve to go nowhere else. That's a screw job. I'm sorry. I'm talking about the ball. I watched that thing over and over. That guy caught the ball. He caught the ball. That was the biggest screw job you have ever seen. Like my beloved father said, you can't beat the referees in the team, too. So that's all I can say about that old thing.
Yes, yeah. That's why you got to play your game. You know what I'm saying? Green Bay cannot expect to play like that going into Seattle next week. Expect to come out of there with a W. They cannot. They're gonna have to really. And that, I think now that Cincinnati have a game a week later instead of 2 weeks, it's gonna. I think they'll be in. It'll be a better game. Like they'll be a little sharper, I guess. And but it's still gonna be interesting. So that's gonna be like, man, I know that's gonna be serious, man. I'm just going to make sure I got everything I need before the game starts and be right there. Because when that game starts, I'm going to be right there. I'm going to watch every play. I'm not buzzing. That's going to be a game to watch. That and see if that was going to be crazy. Now, the AFC, I don't know. I think New England is going to just pretty much wipe the floor with the Colts.
For real? Well, we were getting to that, but we got one more game to talk about. But before we do that, listen, I'm on YouTube right now. I've watched it since we've been talking, since you guys started talking about the Dallas-Green Bay game. I've watched it like 12 times so far. I'm looking. Now, yes, the ball hits the ground, right? But
he had control of the ball.
But he had complete control. And the rule, from my understanding, would the officials say if the receiver has complete control of the ball, then it's okay for it to touch the ground. That never left his possession. Not only that, that might have actually been a touchdown. I'm looking at the replay. Well, his elbow might have just barely hit the ground. Yeah, his elbow did hit the ground before he crossed the plane. So you all know what that means, right? If Shields had not touched him, so it was considered like a tackle, then that would have been a completion. It would have had to have been. But
didn't
I guess they're
it?
Saying, well, hold on, so now I'm getting confused because did that.
No, I think what
you're saying. I'm getting confused. This rule is crazy. It's confusing me. Shields hits him, well, touches him, and he's going up in the air, so that's considered a tackle once Ryan hits the ground. But he has full possession of it, and it touched the ground, but it never left his possession. Like, it did not roll out of his hands. It just touched the ground. It touched the ground, but it did not pop out of his possession. I'm looking at it right now. They're saying the ground aided him to catch it. That was his momentum carrying him forward as he was lunging. So
yeah.
I don't really agree with that. I can't agree with that. I cannot agree with that. He was trying to cross that plank. It's not like the ground really helped him. He was holding the ball out trying to extend his arm for a touchdown. He didn't really use the ground to aid him. He's extending the ball out for a touchdown. He has the possession of it. I don't understand. I don't know how that's incomplete. I don't get it.
Well,
he's got it. It's no different from Calvin Johnson. The ball literally popped out of his hand. Like, he has it. Like, and by the time the ball starts moving, his body's already rolling over. It never, like, went out of his possession. That's a completion.
Yeah.
I don't get what that rule book says. That's a freaking completion.
They saying
man.
That's the rule book says. They say in the ground, once it had touched the ground, that's incomplete.
That don't make sense because the ball touched the ground plenty of times. And they say, but even though the ball, when they come and announce the decision, the officials say, even though the ball touched the ground, the receiver had full possession of the ball.
Of the ball.
Therefore, it is a catch. And then you hear the crowds even chill, boo. You know what I mean? Like, come on, man. Bobby G, you telling me that's not a catch?
No, I'm just going by the. I thought it was a catch. I thought it was first, but once I heard I saw the replay, and then the rule when they said mentioned the rule that the ground can force the ground can cause what you call it, incomplete. But it can't force a fumble. That's in the rule book. So it's sad, but that's, you know, if that wasn't in the rule book, then that would have been a completed catch. So then that would have possibly led to them winning that game and sending Green Bay home. But that's the rule. I'm just, you know, it's sad, but I mean, just saying, it's the rule. So, you know, and what they're saying, then that's what it is, you know. And I'm going to tell you, man, like I said, it was tough. Green Bay, I mean, they did win. But, yeah, that game could have easily went to Dallas. But that's what I'm saying. I thought it was like, wow. I was like, wow, it looks like Cowboys are going to move forward instead of Green Bay packing. But then once I saw the replay, then once I heard, you know, they re-mentioned the rule, I was like, wow. But I felt like you guys, I felt like that was like, you know, a catch. I felt like it was a catch.
You're saying, but based on the rule, it's not a catch. You feel like it should be a catch, but because of the rule, you do agree with
it. Right.
It followed the rules as far as, like, the rules go, it's not a catch.
Right. Yeah.
I feel like even with the rules, that's so it's really contradictive towards. Because I've seen plenty of other calls on the field that was like, and the official will announce it for the whole crowd to hear. Even though the ball touched the ground, the receiver had full completion of the ball, therefore it is a catch. I've seen it plenty of times. So with Dallas' season on the line, how is that rule incompletion? I mean, they still had to get into the end zone, but at least I feel like they got screwed. I agree with you 100%, Mr. Dan. I feel like they got screwed. Like,
they
I didn't see
screwed.
It this far until I'm watching it right now over and over again. Like, wow, they really got screwed.
I watched
that's crazy.
Play over and over. They got screwed.
Well, I'm going to look at that clip.
You can't beat the referee and the team, too.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. This is outrage. You know what? As bad as it is to be a Ravens fan right now, it's worse to be a Dallas fan. They got it worse than the Ravens.
Oh, yeah.
They got it worse.
Yeah.
That's horrible, man. That's horrible. And you know how it is in the playoffs. They got the officials don't – the officials that play that officiate games throughout the whole season, they mix them up for the playoffs. You're not with your usual team. So all the officials won't necessarily be on all cylinders. But I don't even know if that would have changed it because of this stupid rule they're saying they got. But I've seen that that called the other way before. So what are they talking about? What are they talking about? Wow. 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 You know what? I'm sorry. This is, the officials, they got to get it. They got to get it. That's how I'm feeling about the officials right now.
Wow.
That call. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And if there's a rule book thing that says not the officials, it's the rules, well, this is how we feel about the rules. It's stupid. It's stupid. Even
wow.
Chris Tucker not feeling it. It's stupid. It's stupid. It's stupid. It's stupid. I can't even say nothing else. I'm done. I've washed my hands with that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Man, hey. Oh, man, oh, man. Wow.
Wow.
Well, I'm almost as frustrated as that about the Ravens game after watching it, because at least the Ravens didn't get robbed. Like, they got robbed. Like, that's rock bottom. That's really rock bottom. That's literally the rock. Your front door bell rings, you open it up, and the rock is standing right there. He just rock bottoms you right in your front door, right in the door.
Well, you know what?
That's
they,
literally
they
a rock bottom.
You may feel they got robbed, but I'm going to say this. Cowboys could have probably wouldn't have been there if Detroit.
If it wasn't for that controversial
call
about over Detroit.
You know, so they got to play another game. Detroit got robbed last week, and now Cowboys got robbed. So, I mean, well, yeah, technically that was tough. So,
I know Detroit fans was loving that. I know they was loving that.
And you know, after the game, I don't know if you saw it, but Detroit, the team, they did a not Facebook, but the other social media, Twitter. They tweeted in, and they was like, it's a tough loss. Now you know how it feels.
Wow. Wow. I mean, you know, we talked about that last week. That was controversial because I felt like it was a little offensive pass interference that didn't get called. I felt like it could have been both offensive and, remember we talked about that, it could have went both ways because he pushed the receiver, pushed the helmet of the defender. Like, he literally, like, grabbed his helmet. It was quick, but it was still a grab while the ball is in the air. Like, you're pushing off on their helmet to get leverage and to push them out of position to stopping you. I feel like that's a penalty, too, but nobody talked about that.
On both
so,
ends. I agree. Yeah, I agree.
Nobody talked about that, though. All they're saying is I was passing interference. He didn't get his head around, but he didn't really stop him from catching the ball. Like, he didn't, like, his momentum didn't push him out of the way from catching the ball while he wasn't looking. He just was right there. But they're saying, like, they really got away with defensive holding. That's what the commentators were saying. It was really more defensive holding than it was pass interference. But something should have been called. But I'm like, what about the offensive pass interference with the grabbing the helmet?
I got you.
Grabbing the face mask, actually. So, I don't know.
That
I don't know, but, you know.
The officials should get the boo in that game, too. They should get the boo for that Detroit game, man. But that was sad.
Yeah.
Wow. But I did want the boys to move forward in that game, but it is
shocking.
It is.
You want the Cowboys to move forward, and you a Giant fan?
Well, let me see. I'm just saying, like, I am a Giants fan, so that's why, you know, I'm not a Cowboys fan like that. But like I said, you know, Detroit was supposed to move forward in that game. So, you know what I mean? So, but it is what it is, man. But you know what? Tony Romo, he stepped his game up. You know, he's been having injuries, you know, the back surgery and all this stuff. And, you know, he's a very humble dude. Like, personally, I think he's a
yes.
Very humble. So I like that, you know.
13-19, 191 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks, passer rating of 143.6, the second highest passer rating behind Russell Wilson. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's crazy that they was right there in the game and Tony Romo didn't even have 200 yards passing, but you have to keep in mind that the the Cowboys rush game was in the building. Like, DeMarco Murray did his thing. 25 rushes for a buck 23 and a touchdown, but he did have a fumble.
Yeah, he did.
But Justin Forsett, I forgot to give him his props because he did have 24 rushes for 129. So Justin Forsett actually was the best rusher of the divisional round weekend. So, you know, and both great performances by Justin Forsett and DeMarco Murray resulted in losses, but you can't take nothing away from what they did on the field. Those two guys left it all on the field for their teams.
Yeah, it was a great game to watch, man. Great game, tough loss for the boys. And you know what, man? You know, I'm a Giants fan, but I do. When the team is playing well, I just a guy who just give them the props, you know. So it is what it is.
Yeah, man. 8-0 on the road. Wow. And you can arguably say they should have won that game. You can't take nothing away from that effort. That's controversial right there.
Yeah.
I feel like they got robbed, though. That's me. Some people probably feel different, you know. But from that game, you see why the Packers are 8-0 at home, and you also see why the Cowboys were 8-0 on the road. Undefeated road team against an undefeated home team. That was some great football to watch. Which leads us to our final game, the Indianapolis and New England. The Indianapolis Colts at Denver. Now, Denver was definitely favored to win this game. And, we didn't know what Peyton Manning would do after this season, so this could be the last time we've seen Peyton Manning in an NFL uniform. And, if it was a loss, but we were expecting the Broncos and that high-powered offense and an improved defense to come out on top. But that Colts defense was not having it, and Andrew Luck wasn't having it. They came to play, and they shocked a lot of people. I wouldn't go as far as saying shocked the world, because I think we've seen a great Denver Broncos team lose in the playoffs before. We seen them get obliterated in the Super Bowl last year. And then we also seen them lose an epic game against the Ravens in the 2013 playoffs. So, I mean, we've seen it happen. But, I mean, I was expecting, I think most people were expecting the Broncos to handle business against the Colts. The Colts have been a good team throughout the year. But you wouldn't say they're the best team in the NFL. You'd say one of the best, but maybe, like, on a scale from 1 to 5, they might be number 5. You know what I mean? And, man, the Colts came to play, man. They really came to play. I got to tilt my hat to them. I really didn't know who I was going to root for at first because I hate the Colts and I hate Peyton Manning. But, that's why I really didn't know. It was like a game-time decision. And I started really just kind of rooting for the Colts, like, hey, man, you know what? They kind of remind me of the 2012 Ravens a little bit. Like, you know, they kind of slept on. I think they get more love than the Ravens had in 2012, though. But, like, you know, like they weren't really expected to win. And they showed great poise and Andrew Luck. What makes it epic is he's the quarterback who was a future Hall of Famer himself that took future Hall of Famer Peyton Manning's spot, you know, that led to Peyton Manning going to Denver when the Colts didn't they let Peyton Manning go, and they brought Andrew Luck in since they had the first-round pick. And it turned out to be a great decision. And Andrew Luck is going to be remembered by this alone, even if they don't even get to the Super Bowl. He defeated Peyton Manning, the person that we thought was going to retire a Colt, and he's going down as arguably the greatest quarterback in NFL history. Wow. Great game. Great show up from the Colts. And when I was watching this game, I was like, I wish the Ravens could have took a page out of the Colts' playbook as far as defensively, because that's how you play defense against a high-powered offense. even though we found out that Peyton Manning had an injury, this is a league of no excuses. He put on a suit. He stepped on that field. We're not taking no excuses. The Broncos lost straight up, point blank. The Colts outplayed them without their best defender, Robert Mathis, who led the league in sacks in the 2013 season, last season. But he's out for the season, gone. And they still did it. So just imagine if he was there, just wreaking havoc on Peyton Manning. It might would have been a, I think it would have been a worse blowout if Robert Mathis was there, to be honest. I think it probably would have been like 37-10 or something. I gotta tilt my hat to the Colts, man. Bobby G, how'd you feel about that game?
Yeah, I totally agree with everything you just said. You know, the Colts, and like you said, they're going to remember this game. They're going to remember Andrew Luck for beating Peyton Manning, the guy who he took over the Indianapolis Colts team when they let Peyton Manning go to Denver and then wind up playing Denver in the divisional round and beat Denver, Peyton Manning, sending him home packing. So now the Colts are going to feel like they made a good decision in letting Peyton Manning go. And then the quarterback they replaced Peyton Manning with beat Peyton Manning this Sunday. So, wow, that's interesting. And but, you know, and like you said, Peyton Manning, yeah, he's talking about his two injuries and everything. But you know what? He suited up. He came to play. So I don't have no, there's no excuses. He came, when you suit up on a helmet, you came to play. So that's that. That's how I am. Like, came to play, there's no excuses. So for Andrew Luck, man, he did throw, you know, he threw two touchdown passes, and the Indianapolis Colts upset Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos. And the Denver, I'm gonna tell you, the Colts remind me of that 2013 Baltimore Ravens. You know, the underdogs, not expected to win, and had a pretty decent bunch of guys offensively. But I was questioning the Colts defense against, you know, Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos offense, and I thought that that would win out. But wow, what a turnaround! You know, what a turnaround defensively. They really stepped the game up. You know, the Colts 13-5. You know, advanced to the AFC Conference Championship next weekend in New England. You know, the Patriots who are 13-4, rallied past Baltimore 35-31. Saturday in the other AFC division playoff. The Broncos, who were 12-5, were left to deal with the hangover of yet another playoff debacle, and maybe questions about Manning's future and that of Coach John Fox as well. So really, you know, about that. And, you know, Manning, who joined the Broncos in 2012, you know, after his release from Indiana, from the Colts, has gone one and done in the playoffs a record 9 times in his otherwise
nine times he went one and done? 9 times?
One and done in the playoffs, yes, has gone one and done in the playoffs a record 9 times in his otherwise stellar career. That includes twice in Denver, where he's 38-10 in the regular season, but just 2-4 in the playoffs. You know, so overall, you know, Manning is 11-13 in the postseason, so he has a losing record in the postseason, and this was, you know, one of his worst playoff performances ever. So really, so that's, and sad to say, great quarterback. But
it couldn't have been worse than that Super Bowl. was it worse than the Super Bowl? Was it statistically?
He was worse.
Statistically, it was, but like you said, I feel that the Super Bowl was worse because they got like, wow, Seattle Seahawks like pretty much demolished them in the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, he threw, I think, two picks in the Super Bowl. He was 26 of 46 for 211 and a touchdown, but he didn't throw an interception. He got sacked twice. He had a passer rating of 75. This is definitely not the worst we've seen play Peyton Manning in the playoffs. You got to remember that time he played New England, and they only scored 3 points. This was way back in the early 2000s, New England held Peyton Manning to 3 points. I don't remember what year. You can easily look it up. But, yeah, they definitely held the Colts to 3 points at one of those playoff performances. Wow. Yeah, man. Andrew Luck, he outperformed Peyton Manning.
He did what he had to do, man.
His team outperformed Denver. Yeah, Andrew Luck, 27 of 43, 265. Let me just look at this again. 27 of 43, 265, two touchdowns and two picks, passer rating of 76. Peyton Manning, passer rating of 75. Can't really say he outperformed him. He actually threw two picks, and Peyton Manning only threw one touchdown but no picks. And their passer ratings are nearly equal. You could say they played around the same. You know, I actually prefer one touchdown, no picks versus two touchdowns, two picks. Those picks can be costly.
Exactly.
Because, you know, you could be talking about a pick six or a pick that leads you, that's the offense, to just 10 yards to go for a touchdown. So I wouldn't say he outplayed Peyton Manning, but Colts as a team collectively outplayed Denver as a team. And that really was the determining factor at the end of the day. And this T.Y. Hilton is a stud, man. This T.Y. Hilton kid can really play some ball, man. Four catches, 72 yards, but he's every bit of capable of getting 200 yards receiving in a game. Like, this dude's incredible, man. He's one of the best receivers in the league, so.
Yeah.
I mean, just his presence alone leads to, like, pass interference calls and, you know, he affects the games in more ways than just catching big passes. Like, his presence, like, defenders have such a hard time staying with him. He's so fast and explosive. Like, he causes penalties and stuff, too. So, this kid is the real deal.
Yeah, he's a great receiver. I like Hilton, too, man. And he had no TDs, but he just had a big, you know, four receptions for 72 yards. That's major. You know, that's like averaging
some big plays.
So that's big. So yeah. So he did his thing. He's gonna look forward to see him moving forward into his playoffs, see what he's gonna do next week, you know, against New England. So
I don't wanna cut Mr. Dano off. Mr. Dano, you got anything left to say about
I always said that Peyton Manning is a heck of a quarterback during the season, but when it comes down to the big test at hand, the team just fold up. It's like they just walked off a cliff. I think Peyton Manning, I think his time and his season is up. I think he needs to move on and retire. And as they say, the student took on the teacher, and the student came out on top. Andrew Luck was the student, and he came out on top. He proved him and his team was a better team that day.
There you go. Well said. Yep.
Well, we don't know if Peyton Manning is coming back as of yet. I know the coach is gone, and that was shocking because
I don't
2-13-3 seasons and a 12-4 season. I don't know how you get rid of that. I guess they're saying, no, you had Peyton Manning and you had all these great receivers. You're supposed to win the Super Bowl. Nah, you're gone. I don't know, man. I definitely don't think he should have got fired. Fox, his name John Fox or something like that.
They had to throw somebody. They claimed they walked away on a mutual agreement. You know, they had to throw somebody under the bus. The big wig.
I'm glad they did it that way because he didn't deserve to get fired. But
no.
I think it was like we're going to let you announce that, you know, we're going to announce it this way because we really don't want to. We want to part ways with you, but we appreciate what you did, so we don't want to embarrass you. So we'll just say, you know, we just it's a mutual agreement to walk away. I mean, like you know, just gonna part ways. I think it was like, yeah, we don't, nah, we good. We don't, we gonna go a different direction. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, because a coach when a team, you know, makes it to the to the postseason and also get a bye week, then that coach should have nothing to worry about. You know, they should be moving forward. Like, but if the team chooses to go a different direction, then that's another story. So, but I think John Fox is a good coach, and he's probably going to want. He's going to be somewhere. Somebody's going to, you know, if he wants to coach, he'll be somewhere. We'll see him somewhere else next season. So,
I mean, as far as John Fox goes, as far as what he's brought to Denver and that winning atmosphere of Denver for 3 years, along with Peyton Manning, just in case Peyton Manning decides to retire and not come back, I think both of those gentlemen deserve a round of applause.
Yeah.
Like, I hate Peyton Manning. He's like my arch nemesis when it comes to football, but I would definitely miss watching football, loving to hate Peyton Manning and root against him. That's for sure.
I think that if Peyton Manning walk away and that coach, they got rid of the coach, I think the Denver Broncos ain't going to be the same no more. I don't think they're going to find somebody. They're going to be done. I think they're going to be done.
They're pretty much in the rebuilding process at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, they got Julian Edelman, I think the tight end. I think they're saying they got to try to resign him. Like, I don't know. I had to look it up and see, like, what receivers are, like, in the contract and whose contracts are expiring this season. But I'm pretty sure they got, like, a number of, like, big-name players on that team. Because they got nearly an all-star. They got, like, a bunch of future Hall of Famers on that team. Like, but they might be arguably, on paper, the most talented team in the NFL.
I said all along, the thing I don't like about the general manager of the Denver Broncos, what's his name?
Oh, John Elway.
I don't like John Elway and his big teeth self. I don't like him because he sold Denver, and if I was a Denver fan, I'd be mad with him. He should be held responsible. He's simple. He wants to put all his eggs in one basket and keep putting it on Denver, on Peyton Manning, and continue to pressure this man to win championship. And you can't put all your eggs in one basket. You can't keep on doing it.
I hear what you're saying, because I heard there was some thing like with Denver management, with upstairs, that there was some disagreement with the team's direction, with Elway and other, you know, people up at the top. So, yeah, there is something going on upstairs there. So,
because had been me. They had Brother Tim Tebow. They brought Peyton Manning. The direction I would have went is made Peyton Manning the starting quarterback, made Tim Tebow the backup quarterback. Had Tim Tebow, the good as Peyton Manning is, I'd have got talked Peyton Manning into during the off season, mentor Tim Tebow, prepare him, train him. So when that day came and Peyton Manning decided to say, well, I'm going to retire. It's my time now. I'm going to walk away. I'm going to retire into the sunshine. They could have Tim Tebow ready. And I think it was Peyton Manning training Tim Tebow. I think Tim Tebow would have been a hell of a quarterback. Now, they put all the eggs in one basket. They got rid of the coach. Peyton Manning might not come back next year. They ain't going to never get another quarterback like that. They're going to have to start over.
I agree. Because they did. Tim Tebow, actually, he won, what, 6 or 7 straight and got them into the postseason after they were struggling. They were struggling, and he got them. And then Elway and them turned around and got rid of him after that season. I was like, what was, you know what I mean? I was like, what, you know, he got them to the postseason. Because who was the, let me see, who was the quarterback? And he's now, I think, in Buffalo. And anyway, yeah, he had an injury, and then they brought in Tebow, and that was like the Tebow, you know, the beginning of the Tim Tebow in the NFL era, and how he was, you know, only thing I could say about Tebow is, you know, he could have his arm. He didn't have the big throwing arm. He was a sharp, but he was a big playmaker. He can make short passes, no problem.
But if he would have had, just what I'm saying. If he would have had somebody like Peyton Manning, who got the arm, who could have mentored him, I think he would have been a handsome quarterback.
That's true.
But they didn't give it a chance. They put all their eggs in one basket and put it on Peyton Manning, and they did all that, and look what happened. They still ain't win no championship. That's why I don't like the general manager. I don't like that guy. And his big T self, I don't like him. I can't help if he's a Hall of Famer because he's simple. He need to be removed as general manager. I can't help because he's a Hall of Famer because I feel like he's not good for business, and he's not good for the Denver Broncos because you can't do stuff like that. You got the fans paying all this money to see a championship game, and then you go take and put all your eggs in one basket constantly. And look what happened. Now they're going to have to start all over again.
Yeah, they may have to. If Peyton Manning, you know, decides to retire after this, then they're going to have to start looking at a quarterback.
I really believe Peyton Manning going to retire because I don't think Peyton Manning going to want to play for them without that guy. That guy and Peyton Manning became friends. I don't think he's going to come back.
John Fox.
Right. Yeah, I don't think he's going to come back. I think it's a done deal.
Yeah, he might be an
option. John Elway don't know what he's doing, and he's not. I'm going to tell you straight out. It's not the coach. It's not Peyton Manning. It's John Elway. He's not good for the Denver Broncos. He's not good for business. He should be relieved of his title, and he should be let go. I can't help if he's a Hall of Famer. I can't help if he paid for Denver Broncos 30 years ago or whatever. He's not good for business because he made bad calls. He shouldn't have did what he did because he put all his eggs, got rid of Tim Tebow, and said, we're going to go with what's next. Look what happened. And they still didn't win championship. 9 times they didn't win. He put all his eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
Now he's getting on TV with a stupid grill on his face, and he's the one that looks stupid.
Yeah, so I'm going to see how that thing plays out in Denver now. Wow, it's crazy. But, what a good weekend, man. You know, you got a little bit of everything, man. You got, you know, teams that were supposed to win, won it. You know, you got just down to the wire matchups, and you got what most people consider an upset. But you got a little bit of everything. Controversial play called by the official once again, you know.
Yeah.
So, wow. You got a little bit of
I found it, y'all. I found it. It was 2nd and 5. I found it on YouTube. That's why I'm over here quiet. I was looking it up. It was 2nd and 5 when Joe Flacco threw that interception. 2nd and 5. Not only was it 2nd and 5, y'all, now I'm looking at the replay. He actually, his offensive line, one thing I didn't give credit for about the Ravens game, that offensive line played great for the Ravens. They really did.
Yeah,
and
the
Patriots' offensive line played great. Both offensive lines were phenomenal. Phenomenal. That might have been the best I've ever seen the Ravens playoff. The Ravens offensive line play with a game of such significance on the line.
That's why they had 30-plus points.
2nd and 5, Joe Flacco had time. He had time in the pocket. His offensive line, they were great. Nobody was about to hit Flacco. He seen Torrey Smith split the defenders, and he went for the home run on 2nd and 5. I can't see. They don't show the clock to show how much time is left. But you know it's 2nd and 5, and Flacco had time. His offensive line were knocking guys on the ground. They was coming. Nobody was within 3 yards of Flacco besides the one person on the ground. Flacco had time. He could have went underneath. He had Marlon Brown doing a cross route right in front of him. He had options. the offensive line held up, and he threw it up to Torrey Smith for the home run hitter. He must not have seen the safety creeping, and the safety just cut off Smith and went up for the touchdown. Smith was, I guess his attention was so much on the ball by the time he turned around, it was too late to stop the defense. He did try to hit the defender, but it just wasn't it was nothing. It was nowhere near the impact it needed to be to stop him from catching the ball.
I don't know why Flacco
that was the fate of the Ravens. So I just wanted to touch on that.
You gonna throw the ball?
Second
down
and five, y'all. Second and five. Oh,
throw the ball.
I'm done. I'm not gonna start. I promise you, I'm not gonna go back to it. That's, I'm done.
Yes, yeah. That
yeah,
was.
I'm gonna let it go. Wow.
Usa.
And there was one other thing. There was on. He threw the ball from the 45, but I think the call, the ball was hyped from about the 40. They only had about 40 yards to go for a touchdown with time left on the clock. Milk that clock. And leave Brady the ball with like 30 or less seconds left. That's what you do. Now I'm done. Also, on the Cowboys, I think I said it was fourth and one, but it was really fourth and two on that Dez Bryant catch that was ruled incompletion. That was really a catch. And you can say whatever about a rule book or anything. That was a freaking catch. Yeah, it was fourth and two, not fourth and one. I just wanted to correct that. And with that said, gentlemen, let's just go ahead and get to these predictions for next week. We're not going to go too much into detail about what we think. We're just going to just give straight predictions and wait till next week to actually talk about, you know, our views on it and everything. So I'll go first. So we have Green Bay at Seattle. I'm going Seattle in the Legion of Boom. And we got Indy at New England. I'm taking the Colts. I'm being bold. I'm taking the Colts.
I would like to see
so
that.
I got the Colts in Seattle.
That.
I got the Colts in Seattle in the Super Bowl. Bobby
that
G?
That would be great. That would be
who
great. That would be great, but I'm going to roll with Seattle and New England. But the Colts would be great because it was two young teams. But that would be great to watch. But I'm going to roll with New England. Seattle and New England.
Mr. Dano?
I'm going to go with the Colts because I'm definitely not voting for no Tom Brady. I can't stand
No, him. I mean, but your heart might say the Colts, but do you think the Colts, if you had to bet $100 on it, who would you bet on?
The Colts.
Okay, you're confident. I am too. And I wouldn't have said the Colts last week. But after seeing what they did against Denver, and I feel like Denver definitely has a better offense than the Patriots. I think that they can match that same effort against the Patriots. I've seen the Ravens upset the Patriots 2 years ago in the AFC Championship. I think the Colts have every bit of a chance to do it as the Ravens did, though the Ravens had a better defense than the Colts. But the Colts had lights out defensively in the playoffs. All right, so I got the Colts and the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. Mr. Daniel has the Colts and the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. And Bobby G has the Seahawks and the Patriots. So everybody's picking the Seahawks for the Super Bowl. We all picking Seattle, so let's see how that plays out, y'all.
I don't think we're gonna be looking at Green Bay and New England or Green Bay and the Colts. So I'm gonna go with Seattle and New England, and also, you know, those are the two teams that's playing at home. So that's not one, you know, with the two home
teams.
Yeah,
I can't be mad at you for picking New England. I'm only picking the Colts because after seeing what they did in Denver, I'm having flashbacks to the 2012 Ravens. I'm having flashbacks. They reminded me of them the way they just came and upset Peyton Manning and the Broncos like that. And I think they can do the same thing against New England. So we're going to find out next
New
week.
The Colts could definitely do it. I ain't going to lie. That's going to be a good one to watch. That is going to be good to watch. No question about that. Andrew Luck versus Peyton Manning. I mean, sorry, that's up here. Versus Tom Brady. So that's going to be interesting, you know. Talking about last week's game. But yeah, so we're going to see how that one plays out.
We definitely are. With that said, catch us next Tuesday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, as we dive into the NFL Conference Championships. The AFC and NFC championships is going to be crazy. Make sure you tune in for the conference championship edition of NFL Weekly Wrap Up here on It's Real Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tay Real. We got Bobby G and Mr. Dano, official co-host for NFL Weekly Wrap Up in the building. We are signing out. We will see y'all next Tuesday. I can't wait to see what happens. It's going to be crazy. Let's get it, y'all. It's Real Talk Radio, NFL Weekly Wrap Up. Be out of here.
He gets the snap, he cocks his arm, he goes a pass, it's caught in stride at the 40-yard line by Thomas. At the 50, breaks the tackle at the 40, down the near side, the 25, the 20, the 15, the chase into the 10, the 5, he's in for a touchdown.